Praise the Lord. We're still here and we're still serving God. And God's given me a little short message tonight for you, to encourage you and teach you from the Word. That's what we're supposed to do, eh? During my message for Sunday, and Ephesians 4:11 says that God gave pastors and teachers to the church. Jesus gave pastors and teachers to the church for the teaching of the people to get involved in the ministry, understand about the ministry, and also to know, look out for false teachers. And a lot of pastors and teachers aren't doing that from their church pulpits today. Just going along with everything. But anyhow, I'll leave that for Sunday. Tonight, I want to bring a little message from Psalm 138, verses 1 to 5. So if you'd like to open to Psalm 138, verses 1 to 5, we'll see what's written in there. Wonderful, wonderful psalm. And a wonderful, wonderful truth in here for us to grasp hold of. Psalm 138, verses 1 to 5 says, it's a psalm of David. Alright, so David wrote this psalm. He says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Let's pray. Ask the Lord to help us to get something out of this tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this psalm that you inspired David. King David, Lord, to write down for our benefit for today, Lord. You tell us in the Scriptures that these things happened in times past as examples for us upon whom the ends of the age have come, Lord. And we thank you for all these things that we can see back in the Old Testament that are examples for us, Lord. And we look at David's example here tonight, Lord, and we pray, Lord, as he's written in this psalm, the things that he's written here, Lord, that you'll help us to understand them, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and give us light, Lord, as we consider what's being said here in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight I want us to consider verse 2 of Psalm 138, where we've just read where David declared to God, Psalm 138, verse 1 to 5. So verse 2, I want us to consider verse 2. Where we've just read, where David declared about God, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Wow. This is an amazing statement. He has magnified his word above all his name. God has, alright? Amazing statement. And for many professing Christians, it is near beyond them being willing to believe it. However, 2 Peter 1:21 informs us that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And again in 2 Timothy 3:16 we are informed that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Therefore, we born again Christians who truly believe that God's Word is truth have no struggle when Scripture claims that God has magnified His Word even above His very own name. Alright? That is what He said. That's what God said. He has done what He's done. And that leaves no room for any contrary suggestion that he hasn't. Now, when I was struggling out here with the AOG, that was a big thing about standing on the Word of God as the most important thing. That God has said he has magnified his Word above his name, however, does not mean that the Word of God is above God. Or that it is greater than God. It doesn't mean that the Word of God is greater than God. But God does state here in verse 2 of Psalm 138 that His Word is above His name. Despite that the name of God represents all that He is, all that He does, and that His name is deserving of the honour and praise of all His creation. His name. We should honour His name. Alright? The reality of the issue is that we can only know God's name, who and what He is, and what He does, through His Word. Amen? If you don't have His Word. The full explanation of His character of truth, as the God who cannot lie, and the full knowledge and understanding of His acts of love and mercy, can only be determined through His Word, which He therefore magnifies above His name, because His Word is what manifests and reveals His name to us. Without God's revelation of Himself to us through His Word, His name would be unknown to us. We wouldn't know Him, would we? we could know about something. Oh, I know lots of people say, this Indian bloke that's doing my hearing aid, I believe there's a greater power, Huey. Yes, I believe that. But he's God. His name's God, all right? You've got to find out, like those blokes that Paul saw, you know, these blokes worshipping an unknown God, right? You can't know God without His word revealing Him to us, all right? When God says that He has magnified His word, even above His name, it means that He has given His word special honour. And He has demonstrated this in the special care He has taken to preserve it for eternity, in its integrity and its entirety. Psalm 12 and verses 6 and 7, you can turn there if you want to. You're in Psalm, so you might as well go back to Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, assures us regarding the integrity and preservation God jealously imparts to His words, where we read, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." God's perfect number. Purified seven times. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." His word will last forever. Amen. Again in Matthew 24:35, as well as in two other Gospels, Jesus assures us about the integrity and preservation of His words, where He states, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away." Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but My words shall not pass away. They're going to be there for eternity. God has magnified His word even above His name, and He has given His word special honour because the Scriptures alone reveal God in Christ. 1 Timothy 3:16 is one example where we discover this. Verse 16 reads, "And without controversy." Don't get in a controversy over it like with the JWs. "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." God was manifest in the flesh. In who? Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Only by His word, all right? He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached under the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's why the JWs change it, because they don't want you to know that Jesus is God. We can only know that ourselves because we read it in the Scriptures. So, as well, it is only the word of God that can direct the perishing soul to the Lamb of God who takes away sin. John 1:12 reveals to us that as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We believe on His name and thereby receive Him by trusting His word as truth and consequently partake of His forgiving mercy. We deny His name by doubting His word and therefore despise His offer of salvation. Like the JWs, for instance, do with that John 1 Timothy 3:16. They don't believe that Jesus is God, and they've changed the Bible to take that God was manifest in the flesh out. They put He was manifest in the flesh. It doesn't say God was manifest. How will you know that Jesus is God? Because the Word tells us. It clearly tells us in a lot of places. But they put He there because they don't want you to know that He is God. Because their doctrine doesn't believe it, you see. They don't believe in the Trinity. It is the Word of God alone that teaches the immortality of the Christian's existence, the resurrection of the dead, and the certainty of future rewards and punishments. In 1 John 5:13, we have the amazing promise, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." It's not our claiming to know the name of God that we are assured of all these honours and privileges. Just because we know the name of God, we don't get all these honours and privileges. But rather, it is by knowing the Word of God, understanding it, believing it, and ordering our lives by obeying it, therefore demonstrating in our lives that we honour it as God does. Matthew 7:21-27 is a serious warning. You might as well open to this one because I'm going to read something out of here. About God's Word, alright? His Word. Matthew 7:21-27 is a serious warning to those who magnify God's name above His Word. They magnify His name above God's Word, alright? take careful note of what the Lord is saying here and compare it with what is claimed by the majority of so-called churches throughout the world today, throughout the lands. Jesus said in verse 21 of Matthew 7, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." How do we know the will of the Father? Through his word. Thanks, Andy. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord," his name, you see, "have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." What? We've been talking about your name. And he says now, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." We need to work out what's going on here. "Therefore," he says, "therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," hey, the sayings of Jesus, his words, right, "and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock." Hey, the solid rock of his sayings, his word, the word of God. That's what this house was built upon. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine," God's word and Jesus' word, "and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Hey, like magnifying his name above his word. That's building your house upon the sand, my friends. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." I like that bit. Great was the fall of it. You can hear it, eh? Crashing down to the ground. The Bible tells us many things about the word of God that demonstrate why God has magnified it to such an exalted place. Psalm 119:105 tells us that the word of God is light. John 17:17 tells us that the word of God is truth. It is described as quick and powerful in Hebrews 4:12, meaning that it is able to give life and spiritual vitality to the believer. Psalm 19:7-9 describes God's word as perfect, pure, sure, right, clean, true, and righteous altogether. And as we've mentioned already tonight, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 assures us all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, that the man of God may be perfect. We can be perfect for the work of God. We're not going to be perfect human beings until we go to heaven, my friends. But we can be perfect for the work of God through knowing God's word and doing it. Amen. There is a multitude of people populating churches today who claim to be Bible-believing Christians, who blame us for placing too much emphasis on knowing and obeying the written word of God. We had a big struggle out there, I can tell you. They accuse that we stifle the freedom to really get to know God intimately, which they claim to do through some tangible, goosebump-producing experience, usually accompanied by electronically amplified, pulsating rock music. That's how they get to know God. Not from his word, by wanting to put his name above his word. Oh, we know the name of Jesus, and we're just going to do this. Forget about the word, because the word, when you go by the word of God, it stifles your freedom. We got this thing that we want to do, but you're reading in that Bible there not to do that. So we don't read the word, you see. We just go with what God's doing. Only problem is it's not God. They blame us about that. We had a big problem with that, eh? You show me a man with a word, and I'll show you a man with an experience. The experience trumps the word of God. I'm not joking. Anyhow, it's impossible to place too much emphasis on the Bible, the written word of God, because according to Psalm 138 and verse 2, I'm going to close with this, God himself has told us that he magnified his word even above his own name. Let's pray. Close the service. Thank you, Lord, for this short time in your word, Lord, and the instruction that you've given us from it, Lord, that your name is very important, Lord, and we honour your name and we worship your name too, Lord. But you have said, Lord, that you've put your word above even your name, Lord, and we can see why that is, that people can get around saying that we know the name of God. Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? We know your name, but they didn't do according to your word, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for revealing to us just how important your word is, Lord. And we pray, Lord, as we live our lives as Christians, that we would understand the necessity, Lord, of doing all things in conformity to your word, Lord, and your promises that you will bless us, Lord. So we pray, Lord, let your blessing upon the people here tonight. Bless us as we close the meeting too, Lord, and go home. And keep us safe, we pray, until we meet again on the Lord's Day. Assemble ourselves together in the house of the Lord. And come here, Lord, to worship you and to praise you and to fellowship with each other. In Jesus' name, amen.